Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Joe Beninati. You're listening to NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face Off podcast. Here he is. Here's your host, J.J. Regan.
Thank you, Joe. Welcome into another edition of NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face-Off podcast. I'm, of course, your host, the Capitals correspondent, J.J. Regan. With me today, he's the Capitals insider. He is the Mickey to my Rocky. He's Tarik Al-Bashir. Tarik.
Boo.
You're not a fan of Rocky?
Nope.
You know what my prediction for this podcast is, then? Pain.
Pain. Okay.
What we will talk about today... We will talk about the experience that was the Stadium Series. We will answer the tough question regarding what to do in net for the Capitals. And we are going to talk about where the Caps go from here. Tarik, let's put a bow on the Stadium Series. What a night that was in Annapolis.
Yeah, it was pretty outstanding. I've been to a number of outdoor games. I've covered my share of Stanley Cup Finals and other big events, All-Star Games, milestone moments. And the Stadium Series in Annapolis is going to go down in probably my top 10 in terms of things I've covered and been able to experience as it relates to the NHL. It was a first-class event through and through. I mean, there was something going on every few minutes where you were like, wow, that is awesome. From the flyover to the march on to just even the ice being situated on top of an aircraft carrier right. With a little model, you know, F-35 or whatever that was sitting off to the side. You know, the intermissions didn't include, you know, goofy games of, you know, mascots doing stuff. It was the Navy band playing, you know, their tunes. I mean, it was right. It was really, really awesome. There wasn't a bad seat in the house. JJ took my seat in the auxiliary press box.
You keep telling people this.
I used my connections to actually get into a suite owned by a bank that was even better.
This is such a total lie. You always tell people this. There was no assigned seating in the auxiliary press box. I went up there.
You took my seat.
There was no assigned seating in the auxiliary press box. So I went up there. I thought all the seats were gone. Luckily, someone else from NBC Sports Washington was able to save me a seat. So I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't steal your seat at all.
So where did you assume I was going to sit?
I assumed Mr. Big Shot over here already was situated. You were already in the stadium. I had to come in late because I was at the tailgate.
So, like I said, I was able to use my connections, and I ended up in a suite that could not have been more perfect. It was covered, and it was much warmer where we were sitting, although we were not behind glass. There was a suite where you could go in and dine behind glass, but the seat was exactly on the red line, about 100 feet off the ice. Could not have been better. I'm glad you took
you
my seat.
You should be thanking me for not stealing your seat because
thank,
I didn't
thank you, thank
steal
you,
your
JJ.
Seat.
Because it was an outstanding experience from start to finish. What a blast!
It was an incredible experience. My two favorite sports. If I'm not watching hockey, I'm watching college football. So this was a great venue for me because this really added the pageantry of college football to the excitement of hockey. I loved seeing them march on. I thought that was awesome.
College football is awful, by the way.
I have this debate with you all the time. College football is amazing.
I cannot spend 4 hours watching dudes who can't throw, can't catch, miss blocks, aren't very fast. No time for that. Put on the NFL. I can watch that.
No, the NFL is so unbelievably predictable and unwatchable.
Predictable?
Yes, it's completely predictable.
We knew the Eagles were going to win the Super Bowl?
You knew the Patriots would be there.
You're crazy.
You're crazy.
College football still sucks.
Every weekend, something more exciting happens in college football than in the entire NFL season. But we are getting way off track. Anyway, I love the stadium series. I love the march on. I love the midshipmen. Ooh, I almost said cadets. The midshipmen lining the outline.
That was pretty awesome.
Lining the outline of the aircraft carrier.
How about the flyover?
Amazing.
How about the flyover?
The flyover was incredible.
There is nothing cooler than watching a fighter jet turn on the afterburners, and it's only a few hundred feet over your head.
Oh, yeah.
And you watch that blue ring come out of the back of the thing, and that sucker just goes. I'm like, yeah.
Shaking the press box as it flies over. That was pretty cool. And if you were inclined to cheer for Washington, you got a pretty good game out of it, too, which was a question considering the way they played.
Best game in weeks.
So for Washington fans, I think it was an A+. Nothing that you couldn't like about it. Even the brief blackout turned into a fun thing because people started dancing in the crowd.
Can I tell you a funny story? Can I tell you a funny story about blackout? So I'm in the media room at that point because I was getting ready to potentially do a walk-off interview with a Capitol player as they were coming off. So I'm gathering my notes and I'm finding my IFB, you know, the piece that goes in your ear, and getting ready to go back to work. And the power goes out in the media room, and I'm like, that's weird. Did someone just hit the power switch? So I look over at Kevin Weeks, and he's looking at me like, I don't know. So I look over at our team, and everyone's looking at me like, I don't know. And I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. The power's out. You know, the lights flickered for a second. Let me just keep on doing what I'm doing. And then a friend of mine who's watching on television in another state texts me, goes, did the power just go out of the stadium? I was like, oh, my God. And I looked around. Now I'm looking out of the stadium. I'm like, the power is out in the whole building. I figured it was just in the media room.
I didn't even know the media room, in the auxiliary media room where I was, the power didn't go out. We just saw the lights go out.
No, we lost our
stadium lights.
So you were actually facing the ice.
Yes.
I was facing a wall. The ice was behind me by a good 50 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the power went out in the media room and the televisions went out, I was like, okay, well, we just lost power in the room. I didn't even know the whole stadium had lost power until now. Everyone's kind of going, ooh, you know, I'm like, I hear the kind of, and then I look around, and I see everyone with their cell phone lights, and I had to go out and get a picture of that.
Very
that was
cool.
Really neat.
Yeah. A great event all around. I know people were worried about the jerseys. I love those jerseys. Those are great jerseys. And I will say, though, I think they shortened that cummerbund that stripe. I think it was a bit narrower than it was originally, but I love those jerseys. I thought they looked pretty darn sharp in those jerseys, better than Toronto with their white pants.
I thought Toronto was trying to go like incognito, like that was almost like camouflage. That was like winter camouflage, white ice.
It was supposed to be, I heard it was supposed to be for the dress whites for Navy, which is cool, but they could have done.
I thought it looked okay.
They could have done the white jerseys and the blue pants and said the same thing. So anyway, great event, but you know what, the Capitals' troubles didn't follow them to Annapolis, but they followed them to California, and we're going to talk about more about that right after a word from our sponsor. Welcome back, Tark. It's time to get into the tough talk. Braden Holtby was pulled yet again in the Capitals' loss to Anaheim. He has now been pulled in 3 of his last 6 starts and 4 times since February 2nd. Following the game, Barry Trotz had some interesting comments on whether or not he would turn to Phil Grubauer.
I think right now, you know, just like anybody, they've got to just find a way in their game. He hasn't had a real good stretch, just like a player. So he's going to work with our goaltending coaches and get his game in order. He's won a lot of games for us. He's an elite goaltender in this league, and everybody goes through some dry spells, and he's having one right now, really.
Do you continue to stick with him as your number one kind of through that time?
Well, I think just like anything, we'll make that decision based on that. He's played a lot of games and won a lot of games, so he's number one. Doesn't mean that you don't go with Gruby for a bit so he can settle his game. But we'll sit down with Scotty and our goaltending coaches and to see what the best thing for the long haul is.
Okay, Tark, is it time for the Capitals to go with Phil Grubauer?
It's time to be very concerned. The one thing I would say, and I made this point on post-game last night, is elite goaltenders, in my mind, are a lot like elite closers in baseball. It's very mental. It's as much mental as it is physical. And the flashes in the pan lose it, and they never get it back.
Mm-hmm.
The elite ones can lose it temporarily, find their game, and then it's almost like they come back and everyone forgets that they had a month or so where they struggled. I put Holtby in that latter category. I think he's done enough. He has enough equity in the bank at this point. We know who he is as a player, as a goaltender. He's a good player. He's a good goalie. And I don't think that this temporary struggle that he's going through right now is going to be something that unravels his season or his career. It has not been a great season, but there's been many reasons for that for him. I don't see this as a long-term issue, but I do feel like, and we've talked about this before, I feel like we talked about this in the last podcast, I am all in favor of riding the hot hand for a week or two and allowing Holtby to get some practice time to reset and clear his mind and talk to the Holtby Whisperer, also known as Mitch Korn, and just get all this sorted out, because I'm glad it's happening now and not in the first round. You know, if you're going to have these problems, have it happen in early March where you can get over the problems and then have a few weeks to, like, you know, reiterate or reinforce that you're over the problem and then go into the playoffs at the top of your game. Fortunately for the Capitals, they also have a very good goaltender in Grubauer.
Yes.
So, I mean, if Grubauer gets in there, and this is where it gets sticky, if Grubauer gets in there and they rip off four straight wins and he's got a .940 save percentage and a shutout, what do you do? Right. I don't know. I don't get paid to make those decisions, but the way he's playing right now, I could see something like that happening.
Yeah, at this point, it's clearly a confidence issue. I think it is clearly a confidence issue with Holtby. I can't pretend to know what's in his head, but I have to believe that there's something going on with his confidence. And at the end of the day, you're not helping his confidence by continuing to put him out there just so he can get pulled again. You'd like to see him play it out. I think Trotz handled this fairly well, because the best way to get out of a slump is to play your way out of it. Now we're getting close to the end of the season, and as I said, you can't just keep putting him out there so he can get pulled, and you need those points because you're in a tight playoff race. So now it's time to look at Phil Grubauer for a few games, let Holtby clear his head, because playing it out isn't helping him. So give him a few games to clear his head. I would ideally like to see Grubauer get both of the remaining two starts in the California trip and then reevaluate when you get back. Having said that, however, I still contend that overall, when it comes to the playoffs, Holtby, when he is at his best, gives you the best chance to win over Grubauer when he is at his best. So
when was the last time we saw Holtby at his best?
That's a very good point. The difference for me right now, I will give Holtby all the leash in the world because we are in the regular season. If he's your starter for game one, he has zero leash. If he gets pulled in game one of the playoffs, then all of a sudden Phil Grubauer is now your starter until Phil Grubauer shows that he needs to get pulled. So what we're talking about here, we're still – the reason why I'm giving him so much leash and I'm still saying he's the number one and I'm still saying give him a few nights off, but he's still the guy – is because this is the regular season. All that leash disappears once we hit the playoffs.
Okay. I'm not really ready to go there yet, but I can see where you're coming from. I can definitely see where you're coming from. I want to see Grubauer go into the Nets tomorrow in Los Angeles and play very well.
Yes.
And if he plays very well, I want to see him get a second start in San Jose, and I want to see him play well again. Take some of that pressure off of Holtby.
Yes.
You know, there's nothing worse than struggling, everyone knows you're struggling, and you probably know you need a reset, but you keep getting trotted out there. I think it is time. And, you know, listening to Coach Barry Trotz's words last night, clearly he's thinking the same things that we're discussing right now.
Yeah. One game for me isn't enough. You can't put Grubauer in for one game and then go back to Holtby. I think we have to see a string of games, two, maybe even three, depending on how well Grubauer plays. But right now, continuing to trot Holtby out there isn't working and isn't helping him at all.
Yeah, it's definitely time for him to take a back seat for a little bit. It's going to be kind of confusing for his teammates to kind of see this going on too, because Holtby was like the one guy that you never had to worry about. Like, you literally just never had to worry. There are other guys on this team who are consistent and are good, but even they would have a clunker or a bad game here and there. Holtby, you just penciled in 70, and you expected his best, and most, if not every night, you got his best. Yep. And so I know there's guys in that room, and you know, maybe even coaches on that bench who are just like, what is going on here? Because they've never seen it before. So, and I'm sure it's just as equally as confusing for him, because he's never really gone through this, at least not since the 2014-15 season when Barry made him the guy and they kind of became, you know, kind of linked at the hip a little bit. It's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out. Again, the thing that concerns me, I shouldn't say concerns, but the thing I'm curious to see is, what if Grubby goes in there and dominates and mm-hmm. has like 3-4 solid wins?
Again,
then what do you do?
Again, for me, it's the regular season. I don't want to say it doesn't matter, but Grubauer would be hard pressed to do anything that would make me supplant Holtby as the number one right now.
4 wins in a row, .940 save percentage, 1.6 goals against in a shutout. That would make you go, not good enough?
Look, he would have to be otherworldly. He would have to be spectacular.
Those are otherworldly stats right there.
Yes, those are. And if we see that, then yes, you have to question it. But still, let's not forget what Braden Holtby has done. And let's not forget also that these slumps are temporary. Philip Grubauer had his own slump at the start of the season. He did not get his first win until his 7th start of the season. He went 0-5-1 in his first 6 starts. So these slumps are temporary. My goal for the rest of the regular season, what the Capitals' goal should be for the rest of the regular season, is getting Braden Holtby right. Because I still contend Braden Holtby at his best is better than Philip Grubauer at his best. Now, if you can't get Braden Holtby at his best, then fine. Then you have to go with Philip Grubauer come the playoffs. But right now, the Capitals need to focus on getting Braden Holtby back to his best. And if that means getting Mitch Korn, prying him out from his semi-retirement and keeping him in Washington until this is figured out, then do it. But they got to do whatever they have to do to get Holtby back on track, for sure. And there's also one other thing that should be said, Tarek. How much of this is the defense?
They share some of the culpability here. I mean, they are not what they were the previous 2 years. There is one new player, Michael Kempney, who's being integrated into the system. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the problems, and the Capitals have been open and honest and out front about this, you know, one of the big issues they are having this season, and anyone who watches their games know this is truth and fact, getting out of their own end, getting clean exits is a major problem for them. And
they could not do it against Anaheim at all. They could not get the puck out of
right.
their own
zone. And when you start having those extended shifts and guys start getting tired legs, it's not just the defense who's making bad decisions with the puck or maybe not making the crispest, most accurate breakout pass. It's wingers not getting the puck off the boards. It's wingers getting the puck off the boards and then not being able to get it out of the zone.
Right.
It's all sorts of breakdowns. And when you have those massive breakdowns and it leads to those long shifts and tired legs and guys just not being able to get back into position to defend properly, you know, that's where you start giving up those grade A's from point blank range. And so there is definitely some of that. But I think what we're seeing with Holtby right now is a goaltender that's just kind of lost it temporarily.
Yes, I believe that's true. And it should also be said, Phil Grubauer is playing behind the same players that Braden Holtby is. So right now, Phil Grubauer is just playing better. Anyway, we're going to look a little bit ahead to the playoff picture right after a word from our sponsor. Welcome back. Dark is never too early to start looking ahead to the playoffs. The trade deadline and the stadium series are now behind us in the rearview mirror. And there are only 16 games left in the regular season. So Dark, what do the Caps need to do to turn this slump around and gear up for a playoff run?
I'm not so sure I would call it a slump. There has definitely been a soft period here. This has not been their best hockey since the start of February. But I'll tell you this. What they did in that outdoor game on the big stage against a team that was hungry for a win, sure, they were without Austin Matthews. That's big. That shouldn't be overlooked. But the fact that they were able to rise to the occasion and bring their level of play up across the board and dominate a very good team that gave them a very difficult time last year in the playoffs and also in the 2 previous games this season, that kind of put my mind at ease a little bit. I think this is still a team that knows when they have to flip that switch, when they have to get into playoff mode. And I think maybe February they lost a little bit of focus and drive because You're in the dog days, you know. You're in the dog days of the season, and you're already in first place, and it's hard to maintain your A game night in and night out over the course of an 82-game regular season. And I think what they showed us against Toronto in Annapolis should give everyone hope. I don't think you're seeing a situation here, regardless of what happened in Anaheim, that this team is going to fold up their tents and that they're going to fall out of the playoffs.
Certainly. No, this team will be in the playoffs.
That's not going to happen. To me, the biggest issue right now going forward is, I like the way the special teams are playing, especially the power play. The penalty kill could be better. Some of that's goaltending. It's the goalie issue. You have a number one who is scuffling right now, and you've got a number two who's very good and could be a number one on another team, but he's never done it before.
Right.
And so it's the most important position in the game. I mean, you could call hockey goalie if you wanted to, and it'd be accurate.
Right.
Because if you don't have one, you're not winning any games. I don't care what level you're at. So until they sort out this issue, in my mind, this is number one, number two, and number three on my list of concerns.
Figuring out who their goalie is issue number one. Issue number two is getting that defense shoring up, because they're not playing well, and regardless of who's in net. But you want to know what one of my biggest concerns is, Tark? This team cannot build any momentum whatsoever. I think that was one of the biggest issues in February. They win the back-to-back games against Columbus. You're feeling pretty good. Columbus is a team that needed those points, played the Caps tough. Caps won both of those games. They followed that up with overtime losses to Detroit and Winnipeg, two of the worst games they played this season. They won 5-2 in Minnesota, a game that Barry Trotz said he believes is their best game of the entire season. They followed that up with a 7-1 loss to Chicago. They have not been able to build on any of their momentum. We saw Toronto, the stadium series. We thought, okay, they turned it around. The big stage, they got it. They geared up. They were able to raise their level of play. And then they turned in a clunker in Anaheim.
So basically, they need to start off the playoffs with a win in game one, because then they can go win, clunker, win, clunker, and they'll win it still with the Stanley
Cup. There you go. Best of seven each game. Yes, Tark. That is what they need to do. At some point in the playoffs, you have to be able to build on momentum. One win can change an entire series, because you build on that momentum. Suddenly, a team that has no business beating another team in a best of seven, they get that one win, they get that glimmer of hope, and all of a sudden, it's a tough series. I look at Toronto versus Caps last year. We all thought Toronto was outmatched. They played the Caps tough in game one. They won game two, and all of a sudden, it's a close, close series. And one in which Toronto went up 2-1 over the Capitals. And we were thinking, oh my gosh, the Capitals may not even get out of the first round. If you can't build on momentum, then you cannot win in the playoffs. I know, as I said, goalie and defense are issues number one and two. But they've got to be able to build on some of their momentum whenever they get a good performance. And they haven't been able to do that in over a month.
It's a good point. It's a good point. The fact they haven't been able to string together long stretches of prosperity is something that should be concerning. That said, until I know who's going to be manning the nets on a night-to-night basis and whether they can bring it or not, I'll put that on the back burner. But you bring up a great point there.
Fair point, Tark. There's also one other issue that people, I think, we should think about. When we're looking at the standings, everyone knows Pittsburgh and Philadelphia are close on their heels. What happens if Philadelphia overtakes Washington for number one? Then the Capitals are staring square in the face of a first-round series with the Pittsburgh Penguins.
I'm fine with that.
You're fine with that?
I'm fine with that.
You want first-round series.
You know what? I'd rather get it out of the way first. If that happens, it happens. Look, at some point, the Capitals are going to have to go through the Penguins, period.
Yes. Yeah.
Period. That is their lot in life. That is just, you know, it's senseless to even entertain thoughts of a world where the Capitals can win a Stanley Cup without defeating Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. No one is going to take care of their dirty work for them.
Clearly. Well, and it's one. Granted, every team that wants to win the Stanley Cup shouldn't care who plays in front of them. They have to beat every team. Having said that, this stupid playoff format where they have to play the same damn team every year drives me insane. If the end of Ovechkin's career is marked with all these series against Pittsburgh where they lose all of them, it would drive me insane, because you know what happens if they were still doing the 1-8, and then Capitals would get some random matchup, and Pittsburgh would get some random matchup. Somebody knocks off Pittsburgh randomly along the way, and the Capitals go on a run. They can't do that because they're always – the road is always through Pittsburgh right now. Drives you insane.
Play better.
I understand. Look, I'm making no excuses. You want to win the Stanley Cup, you should beat Pittsburgh. Having said that, the format does them no favors.
Definitely. And there are people who behind the scenes complain about the format. It's not going to change, at least not anytime soon. At least not during the Ovechkin-Crosby era here.
This is what
drives the ratings. This brings the fans to the television and to the buildings. It's like, you know, shaking your fist at the clouds. I mean, like you're just not you're not going to affect any change by being angry or upset about it. Don't waste your energy. Direct all of your energy into getting ready to defeat the Pittsburgh Penguins, whether it's the first round or the second round, or it's you're going to have to go through them. And you know what? It didn't work in the second round either time during the Ovi era that they
fair point.
Why not try it in the first round?
Okay.
Get those demons off your back, get it out right off the bat.
Sure.
And then see what happens after that.
Sure. You're right. This format is not going to change. I know a lot of people hate it, but it's not going to change until the matchups become stale. And that's going to be a few more years. Right now, you're still getting juice from the Ovechkin-Crosby rivalry. So even though Cats fans look at that and say, oh, no, not the Penguins again, that still gets juice around the league. So until these matchups become stale, it's not going to change. And I also think it's funny that Tarik says, stop yelling at something that you can't change and wasting your energy. You should see him every time he comes into the office after getting in a traffic jam. Because that is angry Tarik, and he is getting mad at something that he can't change.
You should have seen me 20 years ago, like how angry I got at traffic. Now I just, you know what, you want to cut me off? Cut me off. You want to tailgate me? Go ahead.
Seeing Tarik come into the office before the Anaheim game, he was not so calm.
That was excessive. I mean, that was a two-hour trip to go 32 miles. I mean, that was kind of insane. I mean, there was no weather, there were no accidents, there was no construction. It just took me my commute just doubled for some unknown reason. And so I was a little peeved. But you know what? I'm not, it's not how I used to be. I used to get angry. I used to say things out my window at people. Now, whatever. You want to cut me off? Go ahead.
If you want to have your question read and answered on the next podcast, we are bringing the Mailbag Pod back for the next episode. You can send it in to capitalsfaceoff@gmail.com. If you like the podcast, you can subscribe anywhere podcasts are available, and be sure to give us a good rating and review. Those things really do matter. Help spread the word about the show. You're listening to it. You've made it this far. If you haven't rated us, you haven't subscribed, you haven't reviewed us, please take the time to do that. It really does help. Tarik, we are going to continue through the slog of the California Gauntlet. And we will be here to provide you coverage on NBCSportsWashington.com throughout the way. For Tarik El-Bashir, this is JJ Regan. Now let's get the puck out of here.